Okay, let's get into this year's Haggadah, Tavshin Ayin Zayin, as we have every year the schus to delve into the different parts of the Haggadah, the Divrei Torah. Each year we try to have some new ideas, so hopefully this year I think there's one repeat from the past 15 years. I'll point out where it was, and maybe we'll add in one or two other things, but we will mostly, as we usually do, stay on the topic or the specific sources that we have in front of us to have a few new ideas, and then Hashem, feel free to listen to the last 10, 15 years or so, which are all in the archives online on the OU the past couple of years and on the YU Torah before that. Okay, we start off with the Otzros HaTorah. Again, almost every thought is from a different Haggadah. We start off with the Haggadah Otzros HaTorah, where the Zohar HaKadosh is quoted as saying, Ki b'kol chatzos laila. This is an introductory thought. Again, we go through the Haggadah one by one, but says the Zohar HaKadosh, Ki b'kol chatzos laila, Hashem Yisbarach nichnas l'ganeid b'ganeiden. Every night of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol goes into Gan Eden, is Mishtasheya, enjoys himself, Kaviyachol, with the Tzadikim, with all of those in Gan Eden. Amnam Balayla Zeh Eino Nichnas LeGan Eden, except one night a year. One night a year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not go into Gan Eden. Rather, Rak B'toch B'nei Yisrael HaOsim Ritzono B'mitzvos HaNehugim Balayla Zeh B'achilas Matzah V'tzipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. On this night, on one night of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, not Gan Eden. I'm going into the home of every Jew. I'm going to join the Seder of every Jew. It's our birthday as a nation, and I need to relive it with them. We remember, he doesn't add it. Anivalo Malach, Anivalo Saraf, it was me, capital M. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was with us that night, and every year he comes back and doesn't suffice to go into Gan Eden. We mentioned in the past that when the Chassam Sofer got a new son-in-law, so when the son-in-law came in, the sons-in-law, his brothers-in-law, the Chassam Sofer's son, says, you know, you can't look at the Shver at the Seder. You can't look at the Chassam Sofer at the Seder. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you can't look at the Shver at the Seder. He's like, okay. He comes to the Seder, the Chassam Sofer comes out in his kittel, and his face is shining. His face is on fire. You couldn't look at him, like Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from with the second Luchos. Chassam Sofer experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming into each Jew's house, not just in Gan Eden. So when we discuss and ready ourselves for this unbelievable evening, we have to make sure that we appreciate what's happening. We have to make sure that we appreciate that, as the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar writes in the continuation of the first source, V'yotros tlalim niftachim b'zeh halayla. The gates of heaven, the treasure houses are open. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to share with us. And we have to remember what this night is all about. Rav Dessler quotes from Ritzvi Hirsch Broidy on the third line on the bottom of Echtem Eliyahu. This night, as we view every night on the Jewish calendar, third line, Ki lo hazman over al ha'adam. El ha'adam nosea b'toch hazman. A beautiful line. Time does not pass by a person. A person travels through time on the Jewish calendar. What does that mean? L'mashal, imagine we're on a train. We're on the train called life. We got to the first stop, hey, it's Shabbos. The first stop is Shabbos. I try to get off the train. I try to experience everything I can with the Shabbos, with everything that every seventh stop is Shabbos. It's pretty amazing. We have to try to get off. We go through time. And then every couple of months, there's a special stop that we could get off at. Hey, it's Purim! We have to get off. We get the most out of the stop. And then we get back on the train. And then we continue. Then a month later, we have Pesach. And a month later, we have Shavuos. That's what it means. Lo hazman over al ha'adam. El ha'adam noseya b'toch hazman. We travel through time. And therefore, we have to do our best to get the most out of each experience with all of the challenges, with all of the everything else going on in our lives, and with all of the family obligations, and with all of the financial obligations and constraints. And with every experience, we have to do our best in the situations that we are in to get the most out of every chag and of every special day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. So that's in terms of a little background. And now let's get to the actual Seder. I saw that the Chiddushi Arim writes, just as an aside, we call it the Seder, even though it's all about miracles. And interesting, Seder means like perfectly orderly and miraculous is like e-seder. It's totally not the normal seder. The Chesed Chodesh Yerim, no, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is mesudar. What? Miracle, not miracle? It makes a difference? Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all seder. It's all Misudar Meirosh, like the Rambam writes in the Pirushim Mishnayis and Pirkei Avos. Every nace was really pre-programmed for Maisa Bereishis. And therefore, says the Rambam, it's all Seder. Says Chodesh Yerim, we call it the Seder to emphasize to us that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had a plan from the beginning, and Kriyas Yamsuf was part of the Seder, and Maimon Har Sinai, and the walls of Yericho falling down. Everything was part of the Seder. And that's how we have to view the Seder as well. Okay, so we start off with Kadesh. So the following thought can be said four times during the Seder, any of the Dalet Kosos. We're going to say it by the first of the Dalet Kosos, and as we say every year, one is allowed. There's no Isser of Balatosir, the leaving over overnight. You're allowed to say this through the day meals on Pesach and Shabbos Chol HaMoed, or even Shabbos HaGadol. There's no Isser of Baltosif. Says the, look in the Haggadah of the Mayana Shel Torah. He discusses the Dalet Kosos, and as we know, the Dalet Kosos, famously, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Psachim writes, we're on the second page now, on top. The Yerushalmi writes that the Dalet Kosos are connected to the Dalet Lashonos of Geula. Votesi v'itzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. Just a question to throw out, maybe to bring up at the Seder, but maybe at the meal, but not for now. Why the Bavli does not ask the question? The Yerushalmi says, why do we have four Kosos? The Yerushalmi says, Dal Kos Shalshono Shel Geula, and the four Lashon of Kos in the story of Yosef and the Sarah Mashkim, all these different answers. The Bavli doesn't even ask the question. Why would that be? Question. Not for now. But either way, the most famous understanding is, Votseisi v'itzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. Says the Bina Le'itim, quoted here in the Haggadah Mayana Shel Torah. There are four types of persecutions that we have been through throughout history. Four types of persecutions. Top left. Hatzorim not limehem es rechusha. Number one, financial persecutions. Laws that are anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. They take our money. They take our assets. We don't have rights. We can't own lands. Number one is financial persecution. Number two, heim garmin lahem sevel v'yisurim gufaniyim aydei praos v'inuyim. Physical persecution. Number two, they hurt us, they maim us, they kill us. Number three, hey mashpilim umavazim osam, bivizyonos akashim biyoser. We might call this social persecution. We are second-class citizens. We are looked at as lowly. We'll better get back to this a little bit later. So we have financial, physical, social. Number four, hey medakim et achayim aruchaniyim v'hadatiyim shel Yisrael. Spiritual persecutions. Gzeiras against mitzvos. Right? The Malchus Harisha, the Gemara always talks about. The Roman decrees. Four types of persecutions that we've had throughout history. All four existed in Mitzrayim. The root of all Golios. The first Golos that we went through. All four existed in Mitzrayim. Right side. Gabi Mitzrayim, Avro Yisrael, Arbaz, Suge, Peranios, Halalu. Nalo, they took our Rechush. Financial. Inu Eskufeyem. Right? Parech. Difficulty, physical labor. Vihitzalti, and then the next one. Hishpilu es kvodam, right? We were slaves. We were second class citizens. Va'aflu inicholam avodes elokeyem, and we were on the 49th level of Tumah. We were in spiritual persecutions as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. The Dalet Lashonos of Geula that we celebrate with the Dalet Kosos. Each are parallel to one of these four persecutions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from. Votseisi, v'itzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. And you go through each one. Votseisi mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Sivlos is a burden. The ola kaved shehitilan ala tzori amasim. The burden that we have to get our own straw. And then we have to schlep. Financial. V'itzalti eschem yavudasam. Hashem saved us from our physical labor. Number two. V'ga'alti eschem bizroa netuya. Hashem redeemed us. Redeemed us. We were raised up from what we had been. Social. And finally, going into Eretz Yisrael eventually, spiritual redemption. Fine. Wonderful. But there's one more punchline. The four mitzvos that we do by the Dalet Kosos also specifically connect each one of them to these four persecutions. Bottom right. Lefichach shosamanu arba kosos keneged arba gulos alalu. The four kosos. What's the first? Kiddush. Mikadesh Yisrael. Shekidash nuvotzenu mitoch tumas Mitzrayim. We were spiritually, we sanctified. That's Kiddush. Number two, we start off. What's Magad about? Going from Avadam Ayinu to Gal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu raised us up socially. And we weren't downtrodden anymore. We went from Avadam Ayinu. Number three, Berachas HaMazon. Berachas HaMazon. There's nothing more symbolic to physical. Kadosh Baruch Hu giving us financial, I'm sorry, everything that we need. Hazanas Olam Kulo Betuvo. And finally, Shvoch HaMaschi Ochal as Yaakov, by the fourth coast, when the Seder switches from past to future. Shvoch HaMaschi Lagoyim, we get a little into Tefillah, a little into Eliyahu Navi, only shows up at the end of the Seder. Only after the meal do we get into, after Benchi, do we get into the future. So that's where we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu take revenge on all those who have destroyed us and hurt us and physically annihilated us. So not only is it Dalal Lashonos of Geula, Keneged, four types of persecutions, Dalad Kosos, the four mitzvahs that we do at the Seder, next to those Dalad Kosos, also represent the Geula of those four. And remember, it fits in nicely to the Shita of Bali Atosvish, which the Ramah quotes. Machlokes Aposkim. How many Bori Piragafins do we make at the Seder? Sfarta custom, the Shulchan Aruch says only two. First and third get a Bori Piragafin. Second and fourth, you made one already, you're Yotze. But the Ramah quotes the Rosh. No, four Bori Piragafins, because it's four separate mitzvahs. Even though the third and the fourth are 10 minutes apart, Hilchas Brachos, it shouldn't get a separate Bori Paragafen, it's four separate mitzvahs. Four separate ideas, and that is what we get from Kadesh and the Dalad Kosos. Okay, so now we move on. We're not going to focus on the Urchatz Karpas this year. We've done that in past years. Yachatz Magid. So we get into Magid. Right, the mitzvah, one of the two mitzvahs daraisas that we do weekly tonight, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we call it Magid. Why do we call it Magid? Based on the pasuk, v'igadta labincha, you shall tell your child. Fascinating ha'ara. Says Rav Avram Shor, it is agada, halecha v'halibuv. We call it Magid because of the pasuk, v'igadta labincha. Which son is that pasuk referring to? If you look in the Torah, and you look later on in the Haggadah, v'igadta labincha is referring to the she'enu yodea lish'ol. It's referring to the one who doesn't even ask the question. Why is that the title then of this main part of the Seder? We dafka call it by the pasuk that we use to answer the one who didn't even ask the question. That's Magid. Says Rav Avram Shor, tonight, besides being one of the hardest mitzvahs of the year, Ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim, it's about Avas Hashem. Recognizing that Hashem loves us, and therefore we love Him, or we love Him, and therefore He loves us, works together. When you love something, you just can't stop talking about it. Even if the person you're talking to is not interested in hearing what you have to say, you just like, you can't stop. Right? Somebody's engaged. Right? They talk about their fiancé. The other person's not listening. The other person's interested in a topic that I'm not interested in. They're telling me about A or B. And they're talking, but I'm not really, but they don't care. They're overflowing with excitement because they love it so much. So even if I don't ask them, they're going to tell me. Magid, v'higavta labincha. It's about reaching the level of, even by Hashem Yedei L'Shol, he doesn't even ask the question. We answer him. We talk, start talking to him. Because we're so in the zone of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that is what we yearn for. To reach that level, I'm not going to read everything inside to save time to try to get through it. But either way, that's what Halakach Ba'alibov says on the left side. Ha'avas Hashem nisbarer, kasher mechapsim l'saper l'misha eino sho'el. If you try to answer someone who doesn't even ask, l'ha'ir eini misha eini odea. U'be'emes kachaisam yidazah shal Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu wasn't asked, you know, by his neighbors. You know, oh, tell me about monotheism. No, I'm going to go out. I'm going to spread it. V'yem kein, azi shaper she'yisod shal Haggadah. The root of the Haggadah is telling She'enu Yodea Lish'ol, because that's a reflection of deep love and deep recognition, and I can't stop. I'm overflowing with gratitude, with feeling, with praise, and therefore we call it Magid. Okay, so now we get into Magid. And as we've done, try to have one thought per paragraph. And we move into Halach Ma'anya. Is that Magid? Is that pre-Magid? Okay, we describe the matzah. Halach Ma'anya, Diachalu Avasana, Ba'ara de Mitzrayim. This is the poor man's bread that our forefathers ate when they left Egypt, or even in Egypt. A question or a thought that we've mentioned in Parsha Shiurim in past years, but we'll mention it in the Haggadah Shiur this year. And that is, famous question, why is Halach Ma'anya in Aramaic? Why do we start off the Seder? The only paragraph we say the whole night in Aramaic is the first one in Magid. Halach Ma'anya. So why do we do that? So, oh, it was written in Bavel. Okay, so then why did the Masadre Haggadah still put it in for us to say it not in Lashon HaKodesh? Harib Madua, top line, Piskazu Baramit. This is the Haggadah Arzi HaLavanon, which are four or five of the greats, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, like four of the, I forgot the third and the fourth of Aaron Cutler maybe, four of the great Rashi Yeshivos, were put together a lot of their thoughts in this Haggadah. Harib Mitzrayim Nishtabcha Yisrael Masadesh Lo Shinos Lashonam, right? We know the Medrash, one of the things that made us unique and special. We didn't change our language, we didn't change our clothes. And Dafka, the first paragraph we say at the Seder is Halach Ma'anya. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, a related thought. I'll ask you another question. Why is Talmud Yerushalmi written in Aramaic? Talmud Yerushalmi is written in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi, put it together. Talmud Bavli is written in Babylonian, Aramaic. We know that. That's where it was written. But Talmud Yerushalmi was written in Eretz Yisrael. Why was it written in Aramaic? Or he asks another question. This is all connected, as we'll see. When Bnei Yisrael went back to Eretz Yisrael after Bayisheni, this is already the beginning of the answer, they kept the names of the Persian months. In the Torah, the months do not have names, just like the days of the week don't have names. We count to Shabbos. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. The months count to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Chodesh HaRishon, HaChodesh HaSheni, HaChodesh HaShlishi. Right? So there's only one yard site recorded in the Torah. The day that somebody died that we know. Aaron HaKohen. The first of the fifth month. Rosh Chodesh Av. Doesn't say Av in the Torah. Those are all Babylonian names. Right? Look in Megillas Esther. Right? We have Adar. And we have Iyar. Right? We have the names in... So those are Persian months. And yet, Bnei Yisrael kept those months. The names of the months. Why didn't they just go back to Hebrew, which means Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi? Or Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Because even when Klal Yisrael went back for Bayisheni, they knew that this was not the ultimate redemption. Imagine a Beis HaMikdash with a Kodesh Kadashim that was empty. There was no Aron during Bayisheni. The Urim Tumim didn't light up. Right? There was so much missing. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, they dafka kept the Babylonian, the Persian names. They wrote Talmud Yerushalmi in Aramaic. Why? To remind themselves that they're still in Gullus and they still have a lot to daven for. This is not the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. Right? There's really two Bate Mikdash. Hashem, says Rabbi Yaakov, had to bring us back, so to speak. Because if we didn't come back during that time, we weren't ready for the 2,000-year Gullus. We just would have been lost. We would not have been able to make it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring us back to give us some chizuk for 420 years before the Hanukkah story, before we went into the long gullus, in order to deepen our commitment, deepen our connection, deepen our identification, in order to be able to survive the long and difficult gullus that we were about to go into. Maybe that's why also, until Mashiach comes, no matter where we are, we say the beginning in Aramaic. Halach Ma'anya. L'shana Abba Ba'ara Di Yisrael. L'shana Abba Yerushalayim HaBnuya. But we're still not there yet. Aramaic and the language of the, even of the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's a different Aramaic than the Bavli, as those who have studied Yerushalmi are aware. We still have a lot to daven for. And that is why we start in Aramaic. We still have a lot to daven for every single generation until, Be'ez Hashem, we have Yemos HaMashiach. Okay, Halach Ma'anya moves into Manishtana. Into Manishtana. Says Rav Eli Sadan in his Haggadah, Kama Malos Tovos Lamakom Aleinu, says Rav Eli Sadan, the Beis Medrash and the home. The Beis Medrash is where ideas are transmitted. The home is where Emunah is transmitted. And tonight is a night of transmitting Emunah. Tonight is a night not just of the intellect, but of the heart. Tonight our children should see us emotional, should see us intense, should see us as much as we can connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See where it's underlined. V'al kein, af al pi shebeis ha-medrash, hu ha-makom shebo anachnu ma'avirim es yesodei ha-da'as shelanu. The content, the ideas, that's given over in the Beis Medrash, from Rebbe to Talmud. Es ha-emuna anu ma'avirim ba-bayis me'av le-ben. Right? V'kan ha-ben sho'el. Manishtana ha-layla ze mikol ha-laylos. So much in the formulation of the Torah about this night, as we know, it's not the Arba'a Anashim. It's the Arba'a Banim. It's a Ben. And it's the Gata Labincha. The mitzvah is formulated like that. Because it's a night about transmitting Emunah. And he says beautifully, Anachnu Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim. Not Ma'aminim Talmidei Ma'aminim. It's Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim. Because Emunah is transferred and transmitted from parent to child. That's how, Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zoche. And that's why Rav Eli Sadan says, when a child asks a question throughout the year, that should be the greatest simcha in the world for a parent. When a child turns to a parent and asks something, that's an opportunity. That's what it's all about. That's what we strive for. And he says in the middle, the greatest tragedy that we can have is when our children aren't interested in listening, in asking. Sometimes there are certain questions that children don't want to ask parents. So, okay, go ask some other parent. Go ask something. But at least it comes indirectly from the parent. And therefore we have to realize, Manishtana, which symbolizes all the questions, like the Diak and the Rambam. The Rambam says, V'kana ben Shoel, V'omer ha-korei Manishtana. The Rambam says, Manishtana, as we've mentioned in past years, might not be the only questions, there might not even be questions, but they're symbolic of questions. Manishtana is one of the oldest parts of the Haggadah. We know the Haggadah, over time, there are different layers and different layers. The oldest part of the Haggadah are the Psukim. That's the oldest part of the Haggadah. And then once we get after that, the Midrashim, the Manishtana is ancient. It's from the Mishnayos. So therefore, says Rav Sadan, that is something we have to realize. The night's about conversation. The night's about talking. Talmidim Aveyas, what if I don't get to say every single word of Magad? It's okay. You know, great conversations and moving a little bit is, there are parts that one has to say, what not. Halacha question, but either way, one has to realize what the night's about. The transmission of Emunah, we have to try to remember what we receive from our parents and transmit that to our children as well. Manishtana halayla hazeb mikol halelos. And we move on to Avadim Ayinu. Avadim Ayinu. Again, so much to say in all of these. First we'll say what's in front of us. Maybe I'll add in one more other. Says, page number 5. The end of Avadim Ayinu. Avadim Ayinu l'par b'Mitzrayim. We know we pass on like Rav and Shmuel. We say Avadim Ayinu. And we say, Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. We start with the religious low points and the physical low points. And we talk about the process. We talk about the Tahalich Hagu'ula physically and spiritually. Avadim Ayinu, though, really encapsulates the entire story in that one paragraph. Avadim Ayinu l'par b'Mitzrayim. V'yotzi'enu Hashem. Hashem took us out. And then we say, Afilu kulonu chachamim kulonu nevonim. Even if we're all brilliant and we know everything by heart, we don't call it Torah Kula, we still have to talk about the mitzvah and call Amar B'Lesaper, B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Harizim Meshubach. Question. How do we know that, is there a source for the idea of Afilu Kulanu Chachamim Kulanu Nevonim? Even if we don't say that by any other mitzvah. Even if you're really brilliant, you still have to learn Torah. It doesn't say that anywhere. You have to. It doesn't matter what my IQ is. Or what I have to do every mitzvah. So maybe here it's all about the results, and therefore if I know everything, maybe I have the result, it would have been a havamina. But is there a source somewhere that teaches us that even if I'm very, very brilliant and smart and know it all, so then I still have to be Marbe B'Yitzias Mitzrayim? Is there a source for that? He asked Rav Matisyo Solomon in the Matnas Chaim, in the Haggadah on top. So he quotes from Rav Eliel Lapyan. We say, Kalamarbe L'Saper, Hareze Meshubach. If I am Marbe L'Saper, so then I am Meshubach. Hareze Meshubach. Who's the Zeh? What is the Zeh? Harizeh. So Pashas means this action is praiseworthy. Suggests of Eliel Lapyan, maybe it's a deeper idea. The Lashon Meshubach hu kahalashon shematzinu yayin Meshubach. Sometimes you have very good, superior wine. The wine is Meshubach. That's what's described in Chazal, that Lashon. How would that apply here? Maybe the Zeh is not just going on the action, but going on the person. Kol hamarbe l'saper, hare zeh, this person becomes Meshubach. This person becomes a different person. He's different. We're in a certain mitzvahs we do, every mitzvah is supposed to change us. But certain mitzvahs inherently have the mahus about them of becoming different people. He quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, whoever is greater in his marich, bidvarim ba'gdolas mash'asolanu Hashem, right? Yia yoser tov. We become different. And where do you see this? A pasuk in Chumash. Beginning of Parshas Bo. The pasuk tells us where it's underlined. What does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Perform all of these miracles and tell your children. Why? Uleman tesaper ba'azni bincha ube'bincha. Tell your child and your grandchild what I did in Mitzrayim. Ve'eso zosai shasamti vam vidatem ki ani Hashem. What is, you shall know. That's including the one he's talking to. Meaning you, by telling over the story to your children and grandchildren, you will become a different person. Vidat, you'll have yediyas Hashem, vidatem. After, what do you mean? You know it already. No. By telling it over, vidatem ki ani Hashem. You'll become a different person. 1 second. That's Rabbi Eliel Lapyan. Says Rabbi Matisyahu Solomon. Who's Hashem talking to here? Who is he saying, if you say this over to your children, you'll become a different person? He's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, if you do the mitzvah of Sipur, it's going to be unbelievable. You're going to become a different person. Afilu kulanu chachamim. Kulanu nevonim. There's no greater chacham or navon than Moshe Rabbeinu. And even he was given explicit instructions to say over the story. As we have mentioned, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first person ever in the history of the world to fulfill the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. The only children that were not in the story, that did not experience, was Moshe Rabbeinu's own kids, who were still in Midian. When they came with their grandfather, Moshe tells them the story. He was the first one to fulfill the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. As we mentioned in the past, from some of the Achronim, that is why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the Haggadah. Do you think he would say his own name? He left himself out. He was very humble. So we mirror what Moshe Rabbeinu did. We mirror the first kiyum of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, but that's the source in the Torah for Afilu Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim, Kulanu Yodim Asa Torah. Just to mention a thought, I just can't stop. But just one of my favorite, on the Avada Mayinu. We mentioned it maybe even last year. I don't remember, but Avada Mayinu, Rav Soloveitchik. Why do we say Avada Mayinu LaParo instead of Avdei Paro Hayinu? Why does the pasuk say Avada Mayinu LiParo? It should say Avdei Paro, like we say in Hallel. Avdei Hashem. Why Avadim Hayinu LiParo? Just say Avdei Paro. Says Rav Soloveitchik. Where was the first time, if we remember, that Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu? The sneh, the burning bush. Why did Hashem choose the sneh? A bush, it was burning, the inside was pure, it was solid. Moshe Rabbeinu had his doubts whether Klal Yisrael merited to be redeemed. Right, the last time he was there, he was told on, he had to run away. Two fellow Jews got him in trouble. Did they really merit redemption? Kadosh Baruch Hu shows him the burning bush. They might be burning on the outside, but the inside is pure. The inside is perfect. It's just burning on the outside, Moshe. The inside is perfect. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Avdei Paro would have meant a deep identification with the values of Paro and Mitzrayim. Avdei Paro. No. Avadim Hayinu LiParo. We were in Mitzrayim. That was the situation that we were in. But it wasn't a total identification. Avadim hayinu liparo. Not avadim shel paro. Not avdei paro. Afterwards, we fully identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, avdei Hashem. But beforehand, avadim hayinu liparo. So even in the beginning of the Haggadah here, we see the secret of what the root, it was not a total idea. 49th level of Tumah, but we kept something. That Pintel Yid, that Nitzos HaKedusha, whatever one calls it, that was there, and that was the burning bush, and that's Avadim Hayinu Liparo, and not Avdei Paro Hayinu. So after Avadim Hayinu, we go into the story of the five rabbis, Maisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Vechulu, until the Talmidim came and told them, again, much has been discussed about this story. Why were they in Bnei Brak, Rabbi Akiva's town, and others, and the Chiddush, some of them, maybe the Chiddush is that one of them was a Kohen, one of them was a Ger, maybe the Chiddush is that they were all doing Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim, but there's just a little story that the Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss, who's going to be here tomorrow night, he tells over in his Agada, he says, from Levi Yisrael Radishev, it could be said here, it could be said by the sons, but either way, he says he was once, Rav Levi Yitzchak was walking back from shul one Pesach Seder night, and he passes by and he's going slowly to listen to the Jews saying of the Seder, and he hears inside one of the houses. He listens, he hears they're up to the Dalad Banim, and he hears Echad Tam, the Echad, right, Chacham, Echad Russia, the Echad, saying Echad like a Shema. He's like, what's going on here? He goes in, knocks on the door. He says, Reb Yid. He says, what's going on? So he says, I was taught to be marech be'echad. I was taught if you say a long echad, you get arichas yamim, it's a great thing. So I was being marech be'echad. So Reb Levi Yitzchak looks up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole point of tonight is Kabbalah So Malchus Shemayim. We have a whole Seder to reach the level by the end, hopefully, will be Mekabal HaMalcha Shema. And this Jew's got it at the beginning of the Seder already. Already at the beginning of the Seder, he's doing Shema. He's already Mekabal HaMalcha Shemayim. He just started. Yisrael Kadoshim Heim. Reb Levi Yitzchak. Classic in the way that he would look at HaKadosh Baruch. Okay. Moving right along. We had this one story, and we have one halachic thought, and then we'll get back to the different Hashkafa. The next paragraph, Amar Blazer Ben Azaria. We know that is the paragraph that is really the contrast. The contrast, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, as compared to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zechira being the everyday remembering, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzei Yitzieschem, and the Sipur, which is the lengthy talk that we have at the Seder night. Maybe just to mention, we mentioned it last week at Parsha Shir, but those who didn't hear the Parsha Shir, has to be mentioned again. What is the relationship between the Sipur and the Zechira before we get to this, the Ur Sameach? Why one night a year do we have a lengthy discussion of the Sipur and every day we have a short just mentioning it? So again, the Minchas Asher gives the following mashal. He says, we have nowadays speed dial. You press one button, boom, it dials 7 numbers for you. It's a pretty amazing thing. Pretty amazing. I don't have to press in all the numbers. I just press one number. I don't know. Most numbers, I don't even know. You press it in, put it in one time, and that's it. If you ask me, the 6 people in my, right, the 10 people, right, the family members, you know their numbers by heart? I don't know all that. No, we just press, we put it in, we program it in once, and once you program it in once, then that's enough. You just have to press it once, and then boom, all the numbers go by themselves. Once a year, we have to program it in. Once a year, we have to press all the buttons at length, so that the rest of the year, we could just press speed dial. Just press one button. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeiti Eschem, that's the Zechira. And once we do that, if we did Sipur properly, then just doing Zechira, the shortened version, that'll allow us to then appreciate and get deep in the ideas just by pressing short. Once a year. You know, you get a new phone. You have to program all the buttons in again. But the SIM card doesn't switch. So every Pesach, we got a new SIM card. Right, it's our birthday again. We're reborn as a nation, and therefore we have to reprogram it in. But that's Zechira and Sipur. And we mention Zechira here in this paragraph, maybe to remind us of the purpose of the evening. There is, though, a question that is dealt with in the issue of counting of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Everyone agrees there are 613. What are those 613 is the mystery that all the Rishonim deal with. And they all felt it very important to know what exactly are those mitzvahs. So if we look through all 613 of the Rambam, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim does not appear. And that is a mystery. The Rambam counts Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as one of the mitzvahs, one of the 613, but nowhere does he have the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. And that's very difficult. It's clearly a halacha. It's clear in the Gemara, and the Rambam has it in his halachos, but he doesn't count it as a separate one of the 613. Why? Various answers given. The Ar Sameach has one answer, but in the Salvechik world, one of the Salvechiks, many of them, but it's a Rambam. The Rambam, it's the Rambam Lishitasa. There is a machlokas Rishonim, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema every day on a Torah level. How much do we have to say to be Yotzei my mitzvah on a Torah level? When the Torah says it's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, how much do I have to say? Whatever the answer you say, you're right. One opinion, the Ramban says, first pasuk, Shema Yisrael. Rashi, beginning of Shas, Brachas Dabez, first paragraph. Tosis, first two paragraphs. The Rambam, all three paragraphs are part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. What is he talking about? The third paragraph we only say because of the last line. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. What's the answer? According to the Rambam, part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, of accepting the yoke of heaven, is remembering that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. It's part of the mitzvah. It's not a separate idea. Part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, is Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and Schar Ba'onesh and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's all part of one lump sum, and that is why the Rambam does not count Zechira, but he puts it as part of Kriya Shema. Okay. Here's the one thought that I think the one out of all the pages that is a repeat from 7 years ago. And that is the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi on Baruch HaMakom. We're up to Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Kenegar Arba Abanim Dibra Torah. We give a little Birchas HaTorah. Baruch Shanas HaTorah LaMo Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem who gave us the Torah. Kenegar Arba Abanim Dibra Torah. The Torah is Kenegar, the four sons. Asks the Beis HaLevi. Asks Reb Chaim, really, in the Haggadah of the Beis HaLevi. What is that word Kenegar? What does it mean the Torah is opposite the four sons? What does that word mean, keneged? Says Reb Chaim, in every other area of study in the world, there are beginner textbooks, intermediate textbooks, and advanced textbooks. The math that a second grader does, it would be a joke for an eighth grader to look at that math. And the history that a seventh grader does would be a joke for a college professor to look at. And it continues. The same Rashi that the first grader looks at, that the eighth grader looks at, that the Kollel guy looks at, the greatest Rosh Yeshiva looks at as well. Same text. They each get something different out of it. But it's the magic of the Torah that the same text is used over and over again. We look at the same Rashis every year. Because Keneged, opposite and parallel to all types of sons, all types of Jews, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah is Keneged, all the different types of Jews, and all the different types of people. Okay, moving right along. The Dalet Banim. Say one thought on the Dalet Banim from the Haggadah Kol Tzvi. You have on the bottom of page 6. Chacham Ahu Omer. The Chacham asked the Kasha, what are all of these laws? And he is given the answer, Ein Maftirin Achara Pesach Afikomen. Don't eat, you can't eat after the Afikomen. Gotta have Tam Matzah B'Fiv. Adin D'Rabbanan. Asks in the Haggadah Kol Tzvi, two questions. Number one, why is that detail so crucial for us to say to the Chacham? Adin D'Rabbanan? Question one, at least pick Adin D'Araisa. Da'afka Adin D'Rabbanan? Tell him that the Karban Pesach has to be roasted. Tell him Adin D'Araisa. Why a din d'rabbanan? Question one. Question two, and this is an exercise that one could do, the questions and the answers in the Dalet Banim don't line up to the questions and the answers in the Torah. If we look at the answer that the Chacham is given in the Torah, it's a gorgeous answer. The Chacham says, Ma'in Tzvachukim, and we answer, Hashem did unbelievable nisim and miracles and Mitzrayim. It was amazing and awesome and tremendous. And instead of that, we say, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. Number one, why this? And number two, why not that? You know, wouldn't that be a beautiful answer? Just say what the Torah says. Right? Tshuva Aruka Ve'eno Klal Mashinizkar Ba'agada. So suggests, he quotes this from the Sefer Avnei HaMakom, maybe it's really the same idea. How is it the same idea? I'm talking about the miracles in Mitzrayim and talking about the Dinim D'Rabbanan. We read the Torah. We can hardly understand anything just by reading Torah Shebichsav. Where totafos between your eyes? What does that mean? No idea. It doesn't mean between my eyes, and I have no idea what totafos means. All of a sudden, the rabbis say, put it on your forehead, not in between your eyes. Really? Is that what the pasuk says? And what's totafos? Right? The Gemara says it's an African word. Read every uksavtam amezuzos peisacho visharecha. What's a mezuzah? What are you supposed to write? Every tzitzis, gedilim tasalacha, put strings. Okay, put strings. We can think of a thousand ways of making strings. It's got to be with the knots and the Rabbanan add in so many things that are not in the Torah. It's like so unexpected. And he quotes the sources, maybe that was what was difficult for us by Kafal Amar Kagigas, Nasav and Ishma. One of the Pshatim is, we were ready to accept Torah Shebichsav, but all the Pshatim and the Torah Shebal Pan, the Rabbanan's interpretations of the laws, that's difficult. That's so unexpected, and it doesn't look that way on the surface. But that's the truth. Because the Rabbanan have the halachic intuition to interpret the Torah even though it doesn't seem that way. Where did we ever learn this lesson? This message of what you think is the reality might not be the reality. For 210 years in Mitzrayim, we thought the God was the Seh. And we thought this is nature. And we thought we're stuck. And we are lowly. And we're Meshubadim. And no slave ever got out of Mitzrayim. And guess what? Through the Nisim Minflos and the amazing miracles, we realized it's not always what you see in front of you. There's so much behind it. There's so much depth to the world that we didn't realize. We dafka answer a chacham, dinim an example of one of the dinim d'rabbanan that apply. Just like, lahavdil, but just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us at Yetzias Mitzrayim, through all the miracles, that reality has so much more behind it. Hashem also gave the power to the Chazal to interpret the Torah in ways that might not seem the simple interpretation to us. But that's the reality. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind when he gave the Torah, Lo Sasor, Menadavar She'egidu Lecha Yamin U'Smol, so it's the same answer. The miracles that we answer in the Torah and the Din D'Rabbanan that we answer in Maftir Nachar HaPesach, both are about uncovering realities where you don't think that it exists and you appreciate it on a much deeper level. Okay, there's more there, but we'll leave that for now. Yacho Me'erosh Chodesh, page number 8. Yeah, I squeezed the whole Seder into an hour and a quarter, so we got to move. Yacho Me'erosh Chodesh. So one might have thought that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim starts already Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Kamash Malah, no, v'chulu v'chulu, as we continue. And again, this is one of those questions that are asked in every single Haggadah out there. What's the Havamina? Why would I have thought that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim starts any earlier than Pesach? This is a medrash. We don't have a medrash about this. I might have thought that you sit in a sukkah from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei from Rosh Hashanah. No, nobody thinks that. I might have thought that you blow shofar a few days before Rosh Hashanah. Kamash Malon! No, nobody thinks that. Only here. Only here is there a possibility that we might think to start the mitzvah of Sipur before. Why is that? Says the Aruch HaShulchan in his Haggadah Lel Shimurim. Michiel Michal Epstein. It's fascinating. You could read the Pesukim 1,000 times, and maybe it's obvious, but didn't catch my eye until I was reading, it was pointed out. If we think about the Makos, Paro starts off like a big macho. Who is Hashem? I don't know him. What are you talking about? And slowly, slowly, his ego, his macho-ness chipped away. Slowly, after once Kenim comes, little by little, okay, who wants to go? Okay, maybe the men could go. He always changes his mind, but you see a little bit, there's movement. There's movement in where he was. Until we get to Arba Choshech, Bakas Bechoros. The last couple is going in one direction. All of a sudden, something switches. All of a sudden, Moshe, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. What just happened? Moshe says, okay, I'm not going to see you again. Bakas Bechoros, he comes running. What changed? It was Dom's, it was going all the way down. You can also say this by the Makos. And then all of a sudden, the last two or three, something changes. What happened? He says, "Shereinu b'makas hakodemes nishpula gavaso atch amar Hashem atzadik vaniva mi arshaim." And then by makas choshech it's done. Explains the Lel Shimurim. We know each makah took about a month, and now choshech took 3 days. What month were we up to? Chodesh Nisan. What's the mazel of Nisan? The tzle, the sheep, the god of the Egyptians. Paro thought he had an ace in his pocket. Paro says, okay, these past 11 months have been killers, but Nisan's coming. I got it. Finally, the month of Nisan. This is my month, Paro says. This is the tle. This is the sheep. And what does Hashem do on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? He gives the mitzvah. In 10 days from now, you're going to take the sheep, you're going to tie it to the bed. And all the Egyptians know about it. They know that in a couple of days, what's going to happen? So really, the Geula, the final nail in the Egyptian's coffin, started Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Because that was the day that Paro was looking forward to. It's all going to be okay. I've made it. I'm still alive. It's going to be okay. And Dafka Rosh Chodesh Nisan, nothing. It's continuing going downhill. And Paro's confidence after that is no longer. Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh. I might think that Rosh Chodesh is a good day to start. Kamash Malon, we don't. It wasn't the full Geula yet. It wasn't Makas Bechoros. So we wait. But at least we understand what the Chiddush is, the Havamina of Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh. And we end up saying it's only the night of. So now we continue and we go to the Aruch HaShulchan son, the Torah Tamima, in his Haggadah, in the Baruch Sha'amar, at the top of page 9. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Our forefathers were idol worshippers. We go way, way back in history and start the story. And the question is that he asks Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, why is it important for us to go so far back? What do we have to know this for? Just start with going down to Egypt. What do we have to know? Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Explains the Baruch Sha'amar. We have many doctors in the room. We know that hereditary illnesses are much more difficult to conquer than illnesses that one gets from an external stimuli or germ or infection. If it's hereditary, it's in the genes. It's hereditary. It's to root that out, Rachmana Litzlan. Right? The first question we asked, does this go Yerusha? Rachmana Litzlan, not Yerusha, but says the Baruch Sha'amar. We might ask the question, what did we need to go through the whole Mitzrayim experience for? Couldn't there be an easier way to create our nation? We had to go through 210 years of terrible babies ripped away from their mother's arms, terrible servitude, almost forgetting that we're Bnei Avram Avinu. Why do we have to go through with this? Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. We had a hereditary illness. We were not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says. It was in our genes. It might have been recessive for a couple of generations, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But it was in there. And before we became a nation, we had to exorcise it. We had to root it out. And that's what we needed Mitzrayim for. That experience helped. Mikiva Chema Yushkuim Bavodah Zarah. And therefore we needed extreme measures in order to heal us. And that's why we needed the Mitzrayim experience. that taught us. Again, it wasn't the Mitzrayim. It was the Mitzrayim experience which led to the salvation of the Mitzrayim experience, which taught us so much, not only the Mitzrayim, but us as well. And therefore, that's why we had to have this paragraph of Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah to remember where it all came from. But Baruch Hashem, we continue. Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael. Next paragraph tells us Hashem keeps His promise, and Hashem did the Geula and brought us back to Har Sinai v'chulu. There's a gorgeous thought mentioned by the Netziv. I mentioned this in Navi Shir a couple of weeks ago. Those who listen to the Yeshayahu Shir, the Netziv writes in his Agadah Imrei Shefer, the next source, talking about Geula. Right, this paragraph: Baruch Shomer Haftachas. Hashem redeemed us. Hashem redeemed us. Hashem's going to redeem us. This is a thought that can be said in many different contexts. The Netziv says, quotes the Gemara at the end of Maseches Tainus. The Gemara tells us, famous Gemara, that La'asilavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a circle with all the tzaddikim, and he's going to be in the middle, Kaviyachol, and all the tzaddikim are going to be pointing to the middle, saying, Ze Hashem kivinu lo, nagilo v'nismacha bishuaso. The pasuk we say in on Simchas Torah. So, a lot of messages to that story. We mentioned in the past other thoughts on it. But the Netziv says as follows. Let's say you're dancing around the person. What does Geula mean? You're dancing around the person. So when you're in a circle, first you dance and you're in front of the person. You see their face. And then as the circle continues, you go around and then you see their back. And then you go around again and then you see their face again. The person in the middle is not moving. The being in the middle is not moving. So you keep seeing the front and the back and the front and the back. When Mashiach comes and Geula comes, you know what Geula means, says the Netziv? We're going to understand every tzara, Rachmana Litzlan, that we experienced in our history, and it'll be explained. We'll see how it's part of the larger picture. We'll see. We'll go around the circle. The back of Hashem, you know what that means? Hester Panim. It means the tzara. It means the difficulty. But then we're going to go around to the front, and we're going to see, oh, that's what it was. And then we're going to go around again. And there's going to be another, what about this tzara, this pogrom? And then we're going to go around again, and we're going to see the front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol. It's going to be clear. And that's what I mean, we're going to be dancing. Because that's what happens when you dance. And that's what we know when we say, Baruch Shomer, Haftachas Ol Yisrael. Hashem keeps His promise. Hashem's promised us. B'tachishena. It's going to come one way or another. It came once, and it's going to come. And when they left Mitzrayim, by Kriyas Yamsuf, they had this experience too. Zekei Livyan Veyu. They realized what 210 years of servitude was about. And that's what we daven for in the future of Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. The same Zeh. The same pointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's Baruch Shomer Haftachaso Li Yisrael. And then we continue with Vihisha Amda. Vihisha Amda Lavoseinu Velanu. And the big question is, what's the Vihi? This, what's this? So there are many different drushas. The real answer, the simple answer, is going on the previous paragraph that we just spoke about. Vihi is going on Hashem's promise. Hashem's promise to always be with us. Vihi sha'amda la'voseinu v'lanu. This promise is what has kept us going throughout our history. Vihi sha'amda. But suggesting this Haggadah G'doli Yerushalayim, maybe we have to just focus on the last line of the previous paragraph. That's the Vihi. What was the last line? It's the pasuk by Brisbane of Asarim. V'achrichein yitzu b'rechush gadol. After this, they went out. B'nei Yisrael will go out, Hashem is promising, with great rechush. What's the rechush of a Jew? The assets of a Jew. At the end of one's life, we're not so focused on how big our houses were, how big our bank accounts are. What's the rechush of a Jew? Our Torah and mitzvos. Lo b'moso yikach hakol lo yered acharav kvodo. Our Torah and mitzvos. V'achrechen yitzu b'rechush gadol. When we left Mitzrayim, and the process there, the rechush gadol was the spiritual heights that we achieved. Our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the vihi. Vihi, this connection that we have to Hashem, the emunah that we have in Him. That's vihi sha'amda. That's what has helped us last throughout the generations. Like Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Siddur, right? The most amazing miracle of the history of the world are the Jewish people. More than any other miracle in the history of the world. Think about it. We're still around. There's no other nation that more nations have tried to destroy than us. And they're not here. V'hi shamta, but it's our connection to Torah and mitzvos. That rechush of ours. And maybe you could say that's the deeper idea of the Rashi Tevis that are brought down in many Haggadahs. The V'hi, Vav is the Shisha Zidre Mishnah, Hei is Chamushikum Shei Torah, Yud is the Aseres Adibros, and Aleph is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the V'hi. So that's a nice cute little thought. But maybe this is the deeper pshat of that. V'hi, the connection to Mishnah and Torah and Aseres Adibros and Hashem. That's the V'hi Sha'amda that has taken us through history. And we continue now with Tzei Ulamad. As we continue, go and learn Lavan versus Paro. Lavan wanted to be Mavaki Shakol, Paro only the males. Lavan was really bad. So again we ask, what is the connection between this paragraph and the previous paragraph? Tzei Ulamad. As if it's building on something just said. So it suggests in the Haggadah of the Lech HaTov here, he quotes from Rabbi Yechezkel Levinstein. Just like we did in the previous thought, go to the last line of the previous paragraph. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, Hashem saves us, Tzei Ulamad. What's the Tzei Ulamad? So often in life, we don't realize that the Gula is actually happening. We feel it's just the opposite. Yaakov Avinu ran away from his brother who wanted to kill him, and he goes to Lavan. Does he really think this is a lechatchila? Does he really think that something good is going to happen here? Does he really think that the Jewish people are going to be born here? 11 of the Shvatim are born in the house of Lavan. Was Yaakov thinking that? Did Yaakov have any idea that Klal Yisrael was being born? No, Lavan, it's a galus. It's terrible. No, there's Geula there. The seeds of Mashiach, so to speak, are being sown. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, Hashem saves us, Tzei Ulamad. Go out and look at the Lavan story. Yaakov didn't realize it. Klal Yisrael, you don't realize it either. The whole story of our Galus is really Geula underneath. It's really heading towards a destiny. It's not just a history, but it has a goal, it has a end time, and that is what we yearn for each and every day. Okay, we're going to skip the next thought. Now we get into the psukim. Okay, the psukim is the drushes of the psukim. Sometimes this is where people say, okay, go meet ya dayenu. No, this is crucial. These psukim are important. They're drushes. We'll talk about it on Shabbos Bez Hashem a little more in depth. But we'll skip the first thought from Rav Soloveitchik. We'll go to the second thought on 11, page 11. It's a beautiful thought based on the Beis Halevi. I gave it to you from Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein's Haggadah, but it's really based on the Beis Halevi, which I gave you on the bottom, the Beis Halevi inside. So one of the psukim say is, Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. How would we translate that? So Pashas, the Egyptians made it really bad for us, from the word Ra. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. Shene'emar, what's the pasuk if you look in the Haggadah? Shene'emar, Paro talking. Hava nischak malo. Let's deal wisely with the Jewish problem. Pen yirbe, and maybe they'll do bad things. And they'll leave and they'll fight us. One second. Ask the Beis Halevi. Rabbi Bernstein explains. What are we trying to explain? The Egyptians were bad to us. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. And we quote a pasuk that discusses that we're bad to the Egyptians. Hava nischak malo. Paro says, maybe they're going to be bad to us. It's opposite. We're trying to prove, we quote what the idea that we're trying to explain from the phrase from Mikra Bikurim is Vayareyu Osanu HaMitzrim. They were bad to us, and we quote a pasuk that we were bad to them. How does that work? Says the Beis Halevi, beautiful. No, look closely at the pasuk, or at the phrase. Vayareyu Osanu HaMitzrim. If we wanted to say that the Egyptians were bad to us, what would we have said? Vayareyu lanu hamitzrim. They were bad to us. Doesn't say that. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. What does that mean? Classic, all of our enemies have tried to do for centuries. We don't have to look more than 70 years ago. How do you wipe out a nation? How do you it's not politically correct to order extermination of human beings. It just doesn't work. if I'm able to create a sense that they're not really human beings, if I'm able to create a sense that they're really the devil, they're really a leech on society, I could kill leeches. Our enemies throughout history have tried to dehumanize us, to say that we don't really have a right to live. Hitler, Yimach Shemo, started that even before the war. And that's how he was able to have such an easy time. We weren't humans anyway. And all of our enemies went along with that. That's what Paro did. That's where it all started. Vayareyu osono, he made us bad. Not that they were bad to us. Vayareyu osonu hamitzrim. He made us bad. And then the pasuk fits in beautifully. Shenamar. What's the Shenamar? Paro says, let's deal with this Jew problem because they're going to be bad to us. That's what he's saying. He's already convincing and laying this groundwork to tell his people, throw the babies into the river. They're not worth it. Vayareyu osonu hamitzrim. How many times have we seen that over and over again in our history, but it comes from Mitzrayim? Moving right along, again, the psukim are a lot, but we get to the Makos. We get to the Makos. Ask Rav Zilberstein in the Haggadah Chashuk Yechemet, page number 12. So we know the Makah of Choshech. V'chamushim, Chazal tell us, 4/5 of the Jews died during Choshech. So Rav Zilberstein said, somebody once asked him, you ever think about that? How many Jews died during Choshech? How did they not believe? They've gone through 8 Makos. The Egyptians themselves started believing. Remember they said, Paro, enough already. Let them go. Anmata yezalanu lamokesh. So the Egyptians were starting to believe. So how is it that all of the Jews weren't believing? Says of Zilberstein, simple, it's a chiddush, but a straightforward answer. Rachmana litzlan, there's a difference when something happens to me and when something happens to Yanims, to someone else. Even if we try to vicariously feel and identify, if it's not me, we think we're invincible. We think it's never going to happen to us. We think it only happens to someone else. With all the unbelievable makos, didn't happen to the Jews. Didn't happen to the Goshen people. And therefore, calls mancha adameinu margish zos al gufahu, kashal alachash as emesh of a makas halalu. And that, Rahman al-Islam, we learn, even the greatest miracles and the greatest difficulties, ain't a dome of the person going through it. It just teaches us how much we have to try to experience with our fellow Jew. Try to feel both l'simcha and the opposite. But that is something that we realize from the Makkah of Choshech and all the Jews that still had difficulty, obviously 4/5 that did not believe. Moving right along, we get to Dayenu. We could have a whole shiur on Dayenu. One year, maybe we should just take each line of Dayenu and give a thought how each one is independent of the other one. We've spoken about Dayenu in general in the past. Rav Moshe Feinstein speaks about, specifically, Ilu ha'achilanu es aman v'lo nasalanu es ha'shabbos, Dayenu. If we would have had the man and not Shabbos, that itself would have been enough to give tremendous hakara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. What is the connection between the man and Shabbos? Says the Medrash, the Mechilta, Vayomer Yisrael, even before looking. Who was the first person in history? We just gave it away. Who was the first person in history to say Baruch Hashem? We all say it. Yisrael, first person to say it in history, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Asher Hizil Eschem Yad Mitzrayim. Answer of Moshe. He was the first one. He was the first one. That's so hard. Like what Klai Yisrael didn't realize it during all the miracles. He comes and says, Baruch Hashem. Why dafka him? Says Rav Moshe, so often in life, even if something amazing happens to us, and we're makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're makir the big things. the spiritual things, the amazing highs. But the day-to-day nitty-gritty we don't always appreciate. The day-to-day things that Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us behind the scenes, we don't always notice it. Lefamim nosei adam einav ledvarim gedolim veramim v'yodei asheish levarech alahodas aleim. Of course, that to give a bracha on Hashem umiyachel leboam gedolahodas alahalel. But we don't realize the basic things. Klal Yisrael has just been through the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, Maimed Har Sinai, Machlokas when Yisrael came. But either way, they've been through amazing things. And they realize that. But maybe Yisro comes, says Rav Moshe, and says, remember the basics. Again, the man, maybe they were used to already, but it was food. Okay, Hashem is giving us food. Okay, he gives it to us in a miraculous way. But Yisro says, Baruch Hashem on the food. Don't worry about Shabbos, Maisa Bracious, the Nisim and Iflos, but the man. Bread and water. That's also something that we have to recognize day in and day out. That we're able to have bread, literally. Basic things. Ilu achilanu as haman, v'lo nasalanu as haShabbos. Don't forget the man. Again, the man was miraculous. But don't forget daily calorie intake that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us with. Ilu achilanu as haman, v'lo nasalanu as haShabbos. And even though it's Gashmias, Rav Moshe says. Don't forget Ruchnias. Gashmias. Thank Hashem for Gashmias. Thank Hashem for a pillow at night. Thank Hashem for every little thing that we have. Thank Hashem for running water. Right? The little things, which are not so little in our view of the world. Okay, and after Dayenu, now we get to Rabbi Gamliel. Anybody keeping track? We have five thoughts. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. So, Maror. Maror. Says Rabbi Lamb in his Agada to the Royal Table. Next page, page 14. We take the maror, which is a bitter herb, symbolizes our bitterness. We don't do haseba. And what do we do with the maror? Right before, right? In Eretz Yisrael here, one of the seven brachas we only say once a year. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al achilas maror. That's pretty amazing. Matzah. Haseba, beautiful, we love it, it's great. Maror, make a bracha on maror. What's the, okay, obviously, you made Adama, but, you know, you might think it's something negative. Something, you know, you don't want to make a bracha. Says Rabbi Lamb, as only he could write. We do not weep when we eat it. We take this maror, the morsel of misery, and we recite a bracha over it, as if to say, thank you God for the miserable memory. We then take this bitter herb and dip it into the charoses, the sweet paste of wine and nuts and fruits. Life, we say in effect, is neither all bitter nor all sweet. With rare exceptions, it is bittersweet. And we ought not to bemoan our fate, but to bless God for it. Who in life, says Rabbi Lamb, has pure 100% simcha? Or pure 100% the opposite? Most, Rahman al-Islam, some have more, some have less. But most things in life and most situations in life, right? He writes, since Adam and Chava, life offers us neither pure unadulterated goodness nor pure unredeemable wickedness. And that's why the Jew, the eternal optimist, dips his maror into the charoses and makes a bracha. And that's Zman Cheruseinu. What the left side, what maror wants to tell us is that misery is not meaningless. That pain is not pointless punishment. Alliteration. That human anguish has larger dimensions, the bitter leads to sweet, the chulu. And that's why we take our morsel of misery and make a bracha on it. Because that's what a Jew does. And a Jew recognizes that life is bittersweet. Life has maror, and life has charoses. And we have to realize what each one has. Good. Baruch Hashem, we come to the end of Magid, and we say, we pick up the coast, L'fichach, anu chayavim, l'hodos, l'halel, l'shabeach, l'fayer. Question one, what's l'fichach? Therefore. Therefore what? What is the therefore going on? The past 2 hours? Lefichach. Question two. There's a Gemara in Brachas, which some might be familiar with. The Gemara says, Daf Lamed Gimel, Rabbi Chanina was in shul, and there was a chazan in Rabbi Chanina's shul. And he goes, and he says, the chazan. Okay? B'chavod. He goes, and he starts chazar zashat. Hakel, ha-gadol, ha-gibra, ha-nora, ha-awesome, ha-stupendous, ha-super, ha-amazing, ha-remarkable. He has in about 25 more adjectives. Rabbi Chanina waited till he was finished. Goes over to him, he says, can I ask you a question? Sure. Siyamtinu kul shivcha demarech. You finished? You got it? You finished praising God? Right now you said it all? You captured what Hashem's about? You can never finish. And therefore, we can't start. There are four words that the Torah itself says. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibra, Vanora. That's in Sefer Dvarim. So we say those four words. You can't add on more praise in Shemoneh Esrei. So why is it at the end of Magid we say, Lahodos, Lahala, Lashabach, Lafar, Laromin, Lahad? So how are we allowed to do that? Number one, what's Lafichach? Number two, why isn't this a violation of Siyamtinu B'kol HaShivchei Demarech? Says the Shemen HaTov in his Agadah. Maybe it's based on another Medrash. We know the Medrash tells us that the reason we don't say Hallel, full Hallel, on the last day of Pesach, which then leads to the rest of Pesach, is because Masayah they tovim bayam v'atayim omrim shira. Hashem's creatures are dying. Kriyas Yamsuf, Shri Shal Pesach. We can't be singing by the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. So asks the Velt, so how do we say Az Yashir? We said Az Yashir, so the Malachim can't sing, but we can sing. Answer, you're allowed to sing if you go through it yourself. If you're a bystander looking into the salvation, you can't. Masaya Tovim Bayam. But Israel went through it. They can say Shira. Az Yashir Moshe. If you go through it and you experience it, there are no limits. It's a natural outpourth of emotion. You can't stop. So just go for it and just say as much as you want. What was the previous paragraph? Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo Kiluhu Yatzami Mitzrayim. Lefichach. Because we went through it. Therefore, we're able to non-stop. Lefoyer, Leromim, Lahadel, Shabech. Say them all. Because it's like Az Yashir all over again. If we go through it ourselves, then there's no limit as to what we praise, and that is what we do, and that's what the Shemoneh Tov writes in his Agadah. And then we continue, Baruch Hashem, we made it through Magid, and we come to the mitzvahs. Three more thoughts. We come to the mitzvahs, the first one being matzah. A great little story just on these mitzvahs. The Sanzer, the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim, on the top from the Haggadah, Saper Kavotcha, it was towards the end of his life, he was having a lot of difficulty even moving, and he's moser nefesh to eat some matzah. And he says, you know why I was moser nefesh? I want to show everybody that to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa that's so beloved, you have to be moser nefesh. And then he eats the maror. And he says, you know why I'm moser nefesh to eat the maror? I want to show everybody that to fulfill a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you have to be moser nefesh and make sure that you do the mitzvah. And then he eats the korech. He says, you know why I'm being moser nefesh? Because I want to show everybody that to fulfill a minhag Yisrael, you have to be moser nefesh. Mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvah d'rabbanan, and a minhag of zecha l'mikdash kehillel. The Divrei Chaim was moser nefesh. For d'oraisas, d'rabbanans, and minhagim. And finally, the last two thoughts. Second to last thought from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs from his Agadah. On benching. So this is really a thought that we could say have throughout the year. Right, it's on benching. So nothing to do with Pesach, but it's here. We say at the end of benching, Nara Yisi Gamzakanti, Velo Reisi Sadig Nezav. We all know the song, we sing it, but did we ever think about what the words mean? Nara Yisi Gamzakanti, I've been around a long time. Velo Reisi Sadig Nezav. I never saw a tzaddik that was forsaken. Really, we never saw a tzaddik Veralo. Never in our entire life. Velo Reisi Sadig Nezav. Every tzaddik has had a perfect life. What does that mean? V'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'azav. Says Rabbi Sachs, the key phrase is lo ra'isi. Lo ra'isi doesn't only mean lo ra'isi, I have not seen. But think back to the Megillah. Echacha uchal v'ra'isi. What does v'ra'isi there mean? Bavdon. Esther Amalka says, how could I see and stand idly by and not do anything about it? Ra'isi doesn't mean to see. It means to see and do nothing and stay where I'm sitting. Na ra'isi gamzakanti. I've seen a lot. V'lo ra'isi. I never stood idly by when I saw somebody else in need. When I'm thanking Hashem by benching, all about my being satiated, all about, oh, I am so full. Right, what does the Gemara say? Ein adam mori b'kadosh baruch hu, Rashi quotes it, the Medrash, on Parshas Ekev. Ein adam mori b'kadosh baruch hu, ela mitoch sviya. We rebel against Hashem when we feel satiated, we feel like we have everything. At the end of benching, we declare, it's not just about me. It's about everyone else as well. V'lo ra'isi, something that I never stood by while somebody else was in need. And that's what we declare. I have everything, but I also make sure that everybody else has. It ends the grace after meals with a moral commitment. Yes, we have eaten and are satisfied, but that has not made us indifferent to the needs of others. And finally, Chad Gadya. I'm sorry, there were two that are repeated from the past 15 years. This one, it was about 10 years ago. But the Beis Halevi earlier and this one from Rabbi Sender in one of his svarim. Chad Gadya, what's Chad Gadya about? Right, it's something deep. We know it's something deep. Whether we make the sounds of the animals, that's fine. Got to be a little fun and animated at the end of the Seder. But what's the message of Chad Gadya? And it applies in every generation as much as it does, or in this generation as much as in every generation. We look at the cat. We come in the middle of the song, imagine. And all of a sudden, we see the dog attacking the cat. Oh, what a poor cat. What a victim this cat is. And if we would have had a larger outlook, though, we would realize the cat's not a victim. The cat's an aggressor. The cat makes himself like a victim. But the cat's not a victim. Chad Gadya is about not seeing the entire picture. It's about so many times our enemies in life make them the victims and make us the aggressors. And they say it's the Jews' fault. And they say we're attacking them. And they say, all the problems in this country and all of this. And Chad Gadya is really a tefillah. A tefillah for the day when everything becomes clear. When the victims are really shown to be victims. And the attackers are really shown to be the attackers. V'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'shachal HaMalach HaMavis. All the way down, the just reward and punishment is given to each and every person in history. That's what we daven for. The day that everything will be clear, going into Shir HaShirim, our love story with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as every year, we daven for the day that it won't be as hard for us to be Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mimitzrayim. Right, the Navi talks about whether we're still going to remember Mitzrayim or we're just going to remember the future Geula. Whatever it is, we'll deal with that. Let us just deal with that. And Hashem, we should be zoche to a fulfillment of all the nevuos, all the geulos, and we should continue talking about Haggadah, but Beth Hashem, in Yerushalayim, Havanu Yav, and Herav Yameinu.